Amen. Appreciate those good songs tonight. Will they help to prepare our hearts for God's Word? Amen. And boy, it's a blessing. And it's, you know, we've been talking about, you know, gifts, spiritual gifts, and how the Lord gifts people and puts them into the family of God. And I do believe that gift of music. I believe the Lord certainly gifts people musically. I don't have a lot of those gifts. And so some people are gifted to sing, and like Brian playing the piano, boy, that's a tremendous gift. And I tell you what, if you've got a gift like that, you better use it for the ministry. Use it the way God would have you to use it, His intended, because that is His intended purpose, amen, to be a blessing to the work of God. And so there's certainly many different gifts, diversities of gifts, but one Spirit. And so there's all different kinds of gifts. And I do believe that you know, thing of music and those things is part of it. You know, I've said this before, and you've heard me say it, but I've heard men talk about how, you know, you can't build a church, can't build a ministry on music. And they're right. You can't build a ministry on just music, but you can't build much of one without it either. Amen. You can't build much of it because we build our ministry on preaching and on prayer and the things the Bible would have us to build it on. But the thing is, music and things like that prepare us to receive those things. Amen. Matter of fact, back in the Old Testament with Saul, King Saul, whenever those evil spirits would come on him, he'd call for David to come play. He'd come play his harp. And those spirits, that spirit would depart from him. It would soften his heart, soften his soul, and help him. And I believe it was Elijah one time was going to prophesy. The king had called for him to prophesy. And he was going to call for him. He was going to prophesy, and he called for a minstrel first. A minstrel is a musician playing an instrument. And so as he played that instrument, man of God began to prophesy. And so plays a big role, and I thank the Lord for the ones that He has gifted and blessed in those areas. Amen. And so praise God for it. Well, all right. Ephesians chapter 4. We're back in Ephesians chapter 4. And we have moved into the more practical side of this epistle here. Whereas the first half, if you recall, he dealt mostly with belief and with doctrine, things that we believe concerning salvation. And then the last part of the epistle begins dealing with our behavior. And it's all in order. You have to get your beliefs nailed down first, because what you believe will affect your behavior. And so we've moved into the behavior aspect of it, the practical application of it, and looking at the practical side of these spiritual gifts and the callings of God. And so if you'll look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to kind of move forward off what we preached this morning and continue dealing with that, but just move forward in the Word of God with it. And we'll start, though, reading in verse number 11 and just kind of get the whole context here. So Ephesians chapter 4. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." I'm going to end off reading there, and I'm going to preach tonight on five reasons why God gives men of God. Five reasons why God gives men of God. And so we looked this morning at really the particular callings, the particular offices in verse 11. We see four particular offices: apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers. And so tonight we're going to look at the purposes of those offices. Not just the fact that God gives us men and gifts men certain ways and gives them to the church, but why He does that. And so five reasons why God gives men of God. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I want to thank You for the night, Lord, the night service, and Lord, letting us be together one more time. Lord, I thank You for those that You've brought to Your house tonight, God, and Lord, the good prayer time that we've had, and the good singing, the good song service, and everything that's been done tonight, Lord. We just thank You and we praise You for it. And Father, I pray now that as we've come to this time of preaching, that You would bless us and help us. Lord, help us to, Lord, say only what You would have us to say. Help us, Lord, to take heed how we hear. And Lord, that we would be blessed by Your word. And Lord, that You would stir us up by way of remembrance. Lord, that You would encourage us and uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I pray that You would just use Your word in our lives, God, and bless us and help us tonight. Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, touch that lost soul that might be here. Lord, You'd show them their lost condition. Lord, that they would be saved tonight. Lord, I pray for every saved person that You would, we'd be edified, Lord, that You would do a work within us that only You can do. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for what You do tonight. And we'll give Jesus all the praise, honor, and glory for it. For it's in His lovely and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. So, again, we're looking at five reasons, I believe, that we can just basically pick out very simply in these verses. And some of this comes down to how you break the verses down, too. Some would say more, some would say less. But I pretty much see five reasons that He goes into why He gives these gifts of these men to the church. And He gives them for very specific reasons. Now, it's important that these things are preached. As far as what we're dealing with tonight, what we're looking at tonight, the five reasons why these men of God are given this, it is important that it's preached. For one, just because it's the Word of God. And so we're to declare the whole counsel, line upon line, precept upon precept, faith to faith. And so, I mean, the whole Bible was given us that it might be proclaimed and preached and taught. And so, if for no other reason, God gave it to us and put it in the Bible, so it ought to be preached. But also, not only that, it needs to be preached because there are so many misconceptions in our day concerning what the duties and what the purpose of God's callings on men's life for these offices are. Biblically, the man of God looks very different from what I would say the modern church, you know, puts the man of God to be. He's not an entertainer, and he's not a promoter. And really, I mean, God really never called men of God and called men and gifted men for these offices and for these particular callings that He might even build a ministry. Now, we know that God, if a ministry is going to be built, looking to the Bible, the principle is if a ministry is going to be built, God's going to build it on a man. I've never seen God build a ministry that wasn't built on a man. He always raises up a man. Amen? And so, but really, that isn't the specific reasons, and that's really not the purpose, right here anyways, of the callings of God. And I say that because people get that mentality. Well, if we get the right pastor, if we get the right evangelist, or we get the right preacher through here, then, you know, we'll have a big meeting, or we'll build up a big church. And it's not necessarily, it's not always about building up a big church, and it's not about building a big ministry. It's about the reasons that the Bible gives. Amen? And so God gives us the reasons that He calls and gifts men and gives them to the church. And it may not necessarily be the reasons why the world and even the modern church would say. Okay? And so these reasons are very important because they are God's Word and because it will help us to understand why God gives us the men that He gives us. Amen? Why God gives a pastor, why God gives evangelists, why God gives these men to the work of God. And so God gifts men, He calls them to the ministry, and gifts them to the church We want to know why. Well, the purposes are right here. Five reasons, I believe, why God gives men of God. And so, in verse number 12, he goes into some of that. He says, of course, verse 11, he gives us the particular offices, but then he tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And so on. And so, we start to see these reasons, not just the fact that he called them, but why he called them and why he gave them to us. Amen? So, let's just get right into it. This is going to be a simple message, but that's a lot of times the best kind of message. Amen? Is one that's simple, plain, easy understand. Amen? So, the first reason I see here that God gives men of God, and I use that term because that's kind of what we call them. We would refer to them as men of God. Amen? And so, why God gives that, first of all, is in verse number 12. He gives us men, special men, gifted men, first of all, for service. He says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So God blesses you and blesses me and gifts the church and sows certain gifted men into our lives that He might use those men for service, to bless us, to help us with our service. Amen? Now they are servants. A pastor is a servant. I am the servant of the church and the servant of God. But God also gifts men that He might help God's His people with their service. Amen? He said, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. That is, you are more perfect, more mature, more well-furnished spiritually with the certain men that God has brought into your life to preach the Bible to you and teach you the Bible. You're more perfect with them than what you would be without them. Because there are certain gifts that God gives for that purpose. So God's people would be less perfect, less mature, less furnished spiritually without the men than what they would be with the men. That's what the word perfecting means. It means completely furnished or completely furnished. It's not about getting to a point of sinless perfection. It's not about getting the point where you never sin and you're totally, you know, perfect and without sin. Perfect in the Bible, most of the time, depending on the context, deals with maturity. Deals with getting on down the road with God. Wading out into the deep waters with God. Moving beyond the spiritual state and condition you are now. Getting more mature, more perfect, more furnished spiritually. It also carries the idea of to make fully ready. You know what you need as a Christian? If you're here tonight and you're saved by God's grace, you know what you need? You need to be made fully ready for the ministry. God did not save one person here tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saved, and if you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. And so not one person here tonight did God save, or does He want to save, for us to sit on a pew and coast into heaven. That's not why He saves. He saves that we might serve. That He gives us a ministry. He has a calling for us, a job to do, something for you. And for most of us, it's more than one thing. Now again, getting back to those measurements, He measures out more gifts to some than He does others. He measures out more diverse gifts to some than He does others. But I'm here to tell you, you've got at least one thing you can do and need to be doing for the ministry, for the gospel's sake. Amen? And so He does that, and He gives certain men, He gifts men, gives us pastors and evangelists and men of God that they might preach to us and they might counsel us and they might help guide us and give us wisdom and teach us the Word of God, that we might be perfected, that is, made fully ready for the ministry that God has for us. That you might be made fully ready. So it deals with preparation, He says, for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's what it's for. That's why you're being perfected. That's why God wants to perfect you. For the work of the ministry. That's what it says right there, for the work of the ministry. So one of the purposes of these callings is to prepare and ready believers, God's people, for service. Whatever the service is that He has you doing, whatever job and place, that's why we say, talk about people, everybody be in your place. Because you've got a place, and God desires and gives you men, gives you a pastor, gives you other men to help make you fully ready for that. That's why not everything that the preacher preaches is comfortable. And that's why not everything that the man of God, that the pastor or the preacher confronts you with is always comfortable. Because the last thing most of us need is to be comfortable. We hadn't arrived yet. And we don't need to be comfortable in the unperfect state. We need to be perfected and moved on down the road for God. We need to be moved out and thrust out of that comfortable condition that we're in. Amen. And so, as a pastor, that's why I preach what I preach and how I preach. He said, Brother Jacob, have you ever singled out somebody or something that you saw that needed to be dealt with and preached on it? Absolutely, I have. Absolutely. You say, well, what do you think? What are the things you try to preach? I try to preach what people need. And if there's a need there, there's a spiritual need, if the Lord helps me and gives me liberty to preach it, I'm going to preach it. Amen. Because why? So that you might be perfected. Amen. So that you might be moved closer to God, that you might be made fully ready for your ministry. I can see in some people's lives, I believe that I can, I don't play the Holy Spirit, but you can see the gifts that certain people have. You know, and you can see potential in people. In other words, you can kind of see what God is wanting to do in their life, but you see the areas that's going to have to be dealt with before God can use them to do this over here. And you know what it takes to get them from here to here? Perfecting. You know what's going to perfect them? The Word of God. Amen. And God just gifts men to do that for us. And God's put men in my life to do that for me. Listen here, buddy, I've had pastors and preachers pull me aside many times down the road of my life, my Christian life, and down through my ministry to help me with things that weren't always comfortable, and things I wasn't always happy to hear and glad to hear, but I thank God for them now. I look back and think, boy, thank God that God gifted that man and gave him that insight and to help me and gave him the wisdom and gave him the tact and gave him the words to say to pull me aside and help me with that thing, because it may have been something that would have wrecked my ministry or wrecked my Christian life on down the road. Something that maybe I didn't see. Amen. And God will give you the same thing to help perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And so one of the purposes, one of the reasons God gives men of God is for service. To help you serve the Lord better. Amen? The second reason, not just for service, but the second reason is in verse 12. Not only for service, but for strengthening. For strengthening. He says, verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edification has to do with strength. Has to do with strengthening you. Edification, the word edify means to build up. If you look up the word edify and go to digging into that word, doing word studies, some preachers are real big on doing word studies. I mean, really digging, and they can pull a lot out of that stuff. But if you go to really digging into that word edify, it starts to give the idea of architecture. Actually, the framework and the framing and building of a structure. And so that's the idea that edification carries. The only building that will stand the test of time is a strong building. One that has been built up correctly. One that has been built on the right things, on the right foundation, and has the right framework. And has, hey, listen, you can build a building and make it look great on the outside, but if it's not built right on the inside, it'll not look great for long. Amen? It won't last long. Amen? And so God gives men and gifts men of God to help edify you and strengthen you that you might be built on the right thing and built with the right things that you might not be just dressed up on the outside and filled with dead men's bones on the inside. That you might look like you're supposed to look on the outside and have what you're supposed to have on the inside. Because that's the only way you're going to stand the test of time.
That's the only way you're going to make it, is to be built up with the right things. And God gifts men for the reason of strength, that He might strengthen you, that God might strengthen the church. Not necessarily that man, but God doing it through that man. God gifting him that God might strengthen you through that man. And so it has to do with building up your faith. Amen? And by the way, edification is more than encouragement. Now again, that's why this stuff has got to be preached, because there are so many misconceptions now. People have got the idea and got the mentality that the preacher, boy, he's just an encourager, you know. He encourages us and he helps us, you know, and all that. And that's what people have the idea. They have the idea of the smiling preacher, you know. He's everybody's friend. He's everybody's buddy. He goes to all the get-togethers and he has a big time and he's always the life of the party. I heard one preacher say one time that the life of the party is often the death of the prophet. Amen. The life of the party is often the death of the prophet. Amen. The man that's always got to have the spotlight on him and having a good time and keeping everybody happy and keeping everybody smiling, a lot of times is not going to do much for God. Amen. Because a man that cares about your feelings and will spare your feelings, does not love you, does not care about you, he's not concerned with strengthening you. Amen. But a man that is a man of God, he will be concerned about your strength. Amen. And by being concerned about your strength, he'll be concerned about your weaknesses. Amen. Again, that's why we preach some of the things that we preach, because we see weaknesses. Amen. And those weaknesses need to be dealt with, because a weakness is what we'll call the building to fall. Amen. Even Jesus talked about that. Talked about the man that built his house on the sand. And when the floods came and the wind blew, the house fell, and great was the fall of it, buddy. Listen to me, if some of you fall, it's going to be a great fall. You're going to fall, and your wife's going to fall with you, or your husband's going to fall with you. And then your kids are going to fall with you. Some of you, it'll be your grandkids that will fall with you, and your great-grandkids that'll fall with you. Your testimony will fall with you. What you've built up all your life, the good name, will fall with you. I'm telling you, great is the fall of it when our weaknesses get the best of us. Amen? But oh, thank God that He's sown some men of God into our lives, that He's gifted, and that He's put His finger on the sore spot in our souls, and give them an insight, and help them to see our weaknesses, that they might take an old King James Bible and rear back and not spare our feelings, and not care if it hair lifts the devil, but just tell us where we've missed it, and tell us where we need to get it right, that we might get it right, that we might be built up on the gospel and the foundation of the Word of God. Amen? Thank God for the men of God that He's given to strengthen us and help us in our Christian life. Amen? Everything I tell you and preach to you may not make you leave here smiling and whistling Dixie, but I'm here to tell you, if it's the Bible, it will help you. Amen. Every service, every message that we preach, we may not be swinging from the chandeliers and running the aisles. It may not be a joy service where we're running the aisles and shouting and hugging each other's necks. But I'm here to tell you, we can shout and hug each other's necks and run the aisles if we'll get the weak parts of our lives right. Amen. Amen. God gives us men for strength. I thank God for the men that He's sown into my life down the road that have helped to strengthen me, edify me. And it wasn't always about encouragement. It wasn't always about putting a smile on my face. Amen. Listen, I don't have much for the smiling preacher. Amen. I want a man that's got his hand to the plow and his eye on the goal, and he's moving forward for God, and he comes to the pulpit with a mission, and he's buried his ego and he's buried his pride in the Word of God, and he's got a mission and he's got a goal and he's got a message from God, and he's willing to give it out no matter who's there and who's listening and who it might upset. Amen. Because a man like that is concerned with your strength and he's concerned with my strength. Amen. Man like that doesn't want to tear you down. He wants to build you up. And by the way, God's given that man to you because He also is concerned about building you up. He wants to strengthen you for the edification of the body of Christ. Amen. And it's a lot more than encouragement. Amen. We don't come to church to leave with a smile always. But I tell you what, if we get some things right, we can leave with a smile. Amen. I heard a while back when this whole, you know, pandemic, I'd say it with quotes, you know, pandemic. It's hard to call something a pandemic when it's got a 98.7% survival rate. I mean, it's hard to call a pandemic when it's like that. But anyways, back when the pandemic started, a group got together and they were going to do one of these online meetings. But they were only selecting certain preachers for the meeting because they wanted it to be a very encouraging meeting. They said, we're on hard times here, you know, and things are bad and people are going through some tough times. So we just want to encourage everybody. We want everybody to be very encouraged. What they meant was, we don't want anybody to preach against sin. We want people to avoid certain hot topics because we don't want anybody to get upset and get under conviction here. We want everybody to be just happy and smiling and all that stuff. Listen, I wouldn't give a dime for a meeting like that. Amen? Amen. I want this book. And by the way, I was never encouraged by the preaching of the Word of God when I was lost either. Amen. It always made me very uncomfortable whenever I was lost. It always has made me very uncomfortable when I've not been right with God. Amen. Listen to me. When I'm walking with God, since I got saved and since I've been right with God, I've enjoyed preaching. You can't preach it. You can preach it tighter than I live it, but you'll never preach it tighter than I like it. Amen. And I say amen to old time hellfire and brimstone preaching because that will strengthen me and help me. Amen. It may not always be what I'm living, but I do like it all the time. Amen? Amen? Amen. Listen, when I first got saved, the Lord put me in a whole new world, man. And I started liking preaching, and buddy, I loved to go into a good meeting and hear men just rear back and shell the corn, like we call it, or shuck the corn, however you say it, however they say it. Is it shuck the corn? Whatever. I mean, just nail it hard. Hit everything, you know. Amen. Like the old preacher say, I was birthed in the fire and the smoke won't do. Amen. I like just to preach. I liked it. Man, back then, you couldn't preach it hard enough. And it wouldn't matter if it was in a good spirit, a mean spirit or not. I liked it. Amen. Be as many as you want to. And I say it, amen. Can I help you with something? I ain't changed a bit now. Amen. You can still preach it hard. You can still preach it straight. You can still preach it tight down the line. And I still like every minute of it. And it encourages me. And it helps me. It doesn't have to be some message smothered in syrup and smothered in sugar and frosted sprinkles. Hey, give me the truth. Give it right down the line. And I'll say amen every time. Amen. Because it is the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And it'll strengthen you. Amen. Amen. Listen, in this day of apostasy and compromise, it is refreshing and encouraging to hear a man rear back and preach the truth without compromise. Amen. Amen. I preached a funeral earlier this year, and I just preached like I always preach. Not everybody liked it. Some got up and walked out. But I mean, you know, when you just got to preach, you know. One man walked up to me after that funeral was over. We left the graveside. One man walked up to me. I don't even know who he is to this day. I have no idea who he is. I couldn't pick him out in a crowd right now. I don't even remember who he was. But he shook my hand. He said, I want you to know I appreciate that message. He said, I appreciate somebody that will preach the truth. He said, it is refreshing. That refreshed my soul. Amen. Can I tell you something? Even the lost world is dying and thirsting for somebody that will just tell the truth. Amen. That's why this current president got elected. You know that? Because people felt like he told the truth. People felt like he just told it like it was. People like that. They like a man with grit. They like a man that don't care what people think and just say what they think, man. The world is dying for men of God like that. Amen. And if God has gifted you a man or men that will tell you the truth, that you might be strengthened and edified, you need to thank God for them. Amen? Because that is one of the reasons that God gives men of God, for strength. You're stronger today because of the men you've sat under and heard preach than you would be without them. It's one of the reasons. Another reason is in verse number 14. It's for stability. It says that we, in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, men of God will build you up. They will challenge you. They will teach you. They will push you further. And there are some times we come to church and we got nothing to offer, nothing to give. We barely get there and we need somebody to encourage us and help us. But by and large, you ought to leave most church services feeling challenged. Feeling like you're not what you ought to be. I mean, this is a holy Bible, is it not? I mean, most Bibles on the front, mine doesn't say anything, but most Bibles it says holy Bible. It's a holy Bible written and preserved by a holy God. And so with faced with something that is pure and holy, we're going to see where we're unholy. Isn't that right? And so if we leave not feeling challenged, not feeling like we're not what we ought to be, quite not feeling like there's some things that we need to work on and get better in our life for the glory of God, then something's missing there. Maybe not every service, but I mean, if you go week after week after week and you don't feel challenged, I mean, something's wrong there, amen? Get to a place where you feel challenged, amen? That's what some people need to do. They need to get to a church where a man challenges them. Amen? Because that is one of the things God does with men. And what that challenge does, what that building up and that teaching the Word of God and all that, what that does is it helps to stabilize you. He says that, I mean, there's the assumption is that, you know, at one time in our Christian life, we're children. He says that we be no more children. So you start out a child, tossed to and fro, you know, with every wind of doctrine and all that stuff like he just talks about. Well, God wants to move you and me beyond that. He wants to move God's people beyond that. The sad truth is that some people have been saved for 20, 30, 40 years and they've never been moved beyond that. Or they at least say that they're saved. I don't know. They're still tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They're still moved around. They're still jumping on the bandwagon with every new thing that comes down the road and every new preacher that comes to town, you know. Jumping on with everything. God wants to move us beyond that, and He gives certain gifted men to help do that, to help move us to a point of stability in our Christian life. See, one of the purposes is to give believers stability in faith that you might not be led astray by false teaching. Amen? Now, He gives us, and He starts to point out in this verse, He exposes and shows us what instability looks like. In other words, He said, this is what God wants you to be stable. Well, this is what it looks like when you're not stable. According to the Bible here, we see two areas of instability. First of all, He shows us the conduct of instability. Whenever you're unstable spiritually, you will conduct yourself in a certain way. He said, as children tossed to and fro. And then He says, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Isn't that the way kids are? I'm talking about actual kids now. They're tossed to and fro. They think they want one thing when they really want another. That's what parents are there for, by the way, to help get your kids what they really want. They think they want one thing, but you need to help them get what they want. But sometimes Gideon will get up in the morning and he'll rattle off like three or four things in a row that he wants. He gets up in the morning, I want juice, I want milk, I want chocolate milk. They're all like the same thing in a way. They're all something that you drink, but he's just rattling off everything that, whatever comes to his mind, he's like, I want it. And by the way, whatever Judah's got, that's what he wants too. And whatever I'm doing, that's what he wants. Whatever mom's doing, that's what he wants to do. That's the way kids are, isn't that right? They jump from just one thing to the next, and they never stick with anything. And boy, they like Christmas time, they get these toys and gifts and stuff, and they want you to open them, man. Open that thing. Open it for me, Dad. And I get it all open, you know, and then it's got to have batteries. I need batteries, Dad. Get me batteries. And then I go digging through and find the batteries and go get a screwdriver because every stinking toy that's got to have batteries got a screw holding the stinking thing. On because they're scared to death the kids are going to take the batteries out and put them in their mouth and get sued and all that stuff. Isn't it amazing? Anyways, dig out a screwdriver and dig out batteries and get that thing off and put the batteries in. Less than 5 minutes later, after I've got that thing going, they're off to something else. I'm not even playing with it anymore. Now, if you pick it up and start playing with it, suddenly they want it again. You know. But that's kids, man. They're tossed to and fro, and they're carried about with every, not every wind of doctrine, but every wind that blows, they're carried off of that. Whatever everybody else is doing, that's what they want to do. Just like the wind, you know. A lot of people are like that spiritually. They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They don't know what's true. They're not grounded and settled on what's true. By the way, that's why I'm so concerned for a lot of young people, especially young people that come up in good churches, and the second they graduate high school, they ship off to some university somewhere, and you see no maturity spiritually, you see no grounding, you see them not rooted in truth, and they go off to some university where they're immersed in a pagan culture, living in a dorm with wicked lost people, going to classes with wicked atheist professors, teaching them that there is no God and all that. And they're immersed in that culture. And then people are like, well, what happened? What happened to my kids? How have they turned out so carnal? How have they turned out so worldly minded? How have they got all these weird liberal ideas now? Well, I can tell you why. They weren't rooted and grounded in truth. They weren't mature. They weren't stable spiritually. But I've seen many, many a good, promising, godly, young teenage girl from a lot of good churches that graduate high school, go off to a university. Next thing you know, they've come home a feminist. I've seen it with my own. I'm not making this stuff up, man. I've seen them grow up, been taught to dress and act and live modestly all their life, ship off to university, come home, butch their hair off like a man and dyed it purple. And they're a feminist. Next thing you know, they're a lesbian. That's exactly right. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. I have seen it, buddy. And I've seen young men do the same thing. Amen. Grow up in good churches, good families, good homes, good preaching. But the second they graduate high school, they ship off to some university or some college, get immersed in that culture. Next thing you know, they're all mixed up in the ways of the world, and they're not even in church anymore. I've seen it many, many times. You know what the problem is? They were not stable. They were never stable. That's why it's so careful that's why it's so important that we are careful what we expose ourselves to. That's why we as parents are got to be so careful what we allow our kids to be exposed to. Amen. Because listen, this idea that the Southern Baptist Convention had many years ago, whenever the big debate was on whether or not the church ought to pull out of the public school system and all that was a big debate at one time. And this idea, see, they decided not to. They said, oh, we're going to keep our kids in the public school. And this is the reason why. Because they said we need missionaries and evangelists in the schools, you know, because otherwise we won't have any salt. We won't have any light in the public school system. You show me any kid, any teenage kid that is stable enough and grounded enough to be a missionary or evangelist in the pagan public school system, I'd give you $1 million if you can show me one. If you can show me one. Listen, I wasn't stable enough then. I thank God for all the things He protected me from. I thank God for all the things that He intervened and kept me from. But I'm here to tell you, I'm still battling things in my Christian life today. I'm still battling things in my thought life. I'm still battling things that I hadn't got over yet because I was exposed to them at the school I went to. And most everybody here can say the same thing. You say, well, I did all that stuff and I'm fine. Well, yeah, you got things you still ain't got over yet, too. Amen. You know what the difference is? Stability. And I don't know how I got off on all this. None of this was in any of my notes. But the point is stability. God has put men in our lives to help stabilize us spiritually. And one of the manifestations of instability, someone being unstable spiritually, is a certain conduct, and it will reflect a lack of spiritual growth. This thing of being tossed to and fro, not being grounded, not being settled on what we believe,
That is a manifestation of really childishness spiritually. Not being as stable as we should be. And it reflects a lack of spiritual growth. And it manifests by falling for the latest fad or teaching. It manifests by just doing what everybody else is doing. It manifests just by believing what everybody else is believing. Because that's what kids do. What everybody else is doing, that's what they're doing. That's what they want. Right? So, one of the things that instability looks like, it shows up in our conduct. But then, we also see craftiness for stability. Or instability, rather. He said there in the verse, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. He lie in wait to deceive. They lie in wait. See, error, false teachings, and all that stuff thrives on deceit. Thrives on it. That's why there's so much, you know, going around concerning fraud and this election and all that stuff. Because where there's error, there's deceit. People don't have a problem lying to your face whenever they're wrong about something. They don't have a problem with that. Error and spiritual truth and the Bible is no different. It thrives on deceit, deceiving people. And that's, again, this is why we need to be very careful what we expose ourselves to, what we expose our families to. Listen to me. It's a whole lot easier to deceive a man than it is to convince him that he's been deceived. And once that seed of doubt gets planted into somebody's heart, that seed of deception gets planted into somebody's heart and takes root, it's hard to get that out of there. I know a lady right now that was in the church where I went to Bible college at, who was a public school teacher for many, many years, got saved later on in life, and she came up through the education system. I mean, just totally bought into the whole thing. And she, before she got saved, was an avid evolutionist. I mean, she believed that's what she was taught her whole life until she got saved. Listen to me. After she got saved, that thing was still a big battle for her. She had questions all the time. She was going to the church there. She was doing some Bible college classes. I mean, she always, because it is easier to deceive somebody than it is to convince them they've been deceived. Amen. Every seed of doubt, every seed of deceit that the devil can sow into your heart or into the heart of one of your family members, whatever, he will do it. And I know we can't protect our families and we can't protect ourselves from everything. Amen? I understand that. But we need to do everything we can to shield ourselves from the world and shield our families from the world because the devil is out there and there is craftiness, instability. Nothing is beneath the devil. Nothing is beneath the world. He will do whatever he can to get into your home and to get into your heart to plant the seeds of deceit there. I just read an article before this church service tonight, where they did a study and found that the average person now spends 17 hours and 9 minutes a day in front of some sort of screen, a digital screen. That's computers, smartphones, you know, and everything involved, social media and all that stuff, TV, movies, I mean, everything. I mean, some sort of digital screen. 17 hours and 9 minutes a day. There ain't but 24 hours in a day. That leaves less than 7 hours to sleep. When are people doing anything else? But you know what the real shocking thing about that really shocked me when I read that? Those are pre-COVID numbers. They estimate now, since all these lockdowns and people have been all shut up at home, that people are spending over 19 hours a day on some form of media. I'm just telling you what the article said. Pre-COVID numbers. I'm here to tell you, listen, is it any mystery why we're so dead spiritually? I know people ain't spending 17.9 hours a day or 17 hours and 9 minutes a day on some sort of media device reading their Bible and studying their Bible and watching and listening to preaching. I know that ain't going on.
I mean, is it any mystery why we're so dead spiritually? We're so caught up in everything, and the devil is using all that, sowing all the seeds of worldliness and ungodliness. I mean, you think about all the cursing and all the murder and all the violence and all the adultery and all the wickedness, all the pornography, all the stuff that is tied to that, that people are taking in nonstop in our country. And church people are right in there with them. I'm saying we need to be very careful. And God gives us men to help expose these things to us that we might deal with these things, that we might become more stable. He gives them for stability. Let me hurry very quickly. He gives God's men for service, for strengthening, for stability. But then He gives men of God for sincerity. Verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love. So, first of all, speaking the truth. A person that is sincere will speak the truth. They'll speak what they believe if they're sincere. Amen? But he also says, in love. So, a person that is sincere, they'll speak the truth, but they'll also do it in love. In other words, it doesn't have to. You don't have to speak the truth with a hateful spirit, with a condescending spirit, with an ugly spirit. You don't have to speak the truth that way. We can speak the truth and stand for truth and do what's right, but do it with a spirit of love. Amen? Now, some need to work on speaking the truth. Some need to get more grounded, more stable. They need to be edified for the ministry, and they need to be perfected for the ministry and strengthen their faith and stabilize, grounded in the Word of God, that they might speak the truth. That they might be more bold. Amen. To speak the truth. And so some even here need to work on that. Get to the point where they are willing to stand and just simply speak the truth. But then other ones need to work on speaking the truth in love. Some have no problem speaking the truth, or at least their version of it, but they just don't do it in love. So some need to work on speaking the truth. Others need to work on doing it in love. God gifts men to the church to help us with that, to bring us down that progression that we might speak the truth in love. And by the way, a man of God will do those things too. He will speak the truth, and he'll do it because he loves you. Amen? So, for sincerity, and then last of all, for similarity. Verse number 15, he says that we may grow up into Him in all things. In all things. In other words, one of the purposes of God's men, why He gifts them to the church, is that to make believers to become more like Christ. Again, this is not a preacher factory or a Christian factory. We're wanting people to walk out in the community from our church looking like Christ, not looking like Brother Jacob. Looking like Christ, not looking like a Unity Baptist church member. Now, if a Unity Baptist church member looks like Christ, then that's fine. But we want people to have the similitude and be similar to Jesus. And by the way, that's what God wants too. And that's why He gives us men, that those men may point us to Christ and help us to take on more and more and more the image of Christ in our life. Because Christ is the pattern that we follow. He is our example. He is our pattern. Now, the world and worldly church people are trying to be like entertainers and sports stars. They're trying to look like and be similar to them. Matter of fact, the world has become more similar to the world. The church has become more similar to the world in hopes of reaching the world. But we're not trying to be similar to the world. We're coming out from among them and being separate. We're a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We have no connections, no ties. But you know, God gifts men of God of the church to help us see that. To help us see that there's more of a need. There's more and more and more of a need for us to draw out of the world and away from the world that we might look more like Christ. Because here's the thing, man. Without God gifting us men that see that and that can take a Bible and preach those things to us, to me, to all of us, we would not see that. You know the constant draw of the world is? The constant draw of the world is to do what they're doing. draw away, compromise, look more at the world. They'll get you thinking, well, you'll never reach anybody, you'll never accomplish anything if you never do these things or if you keep preaching these things. And so there's that constant draw and that constant bend. But you know what God does? God gifts and calls and then gives us certain men that can take a Bible and preach these things to us to stir us up and cause us to realize that we don't need the world. We don't need to look like the world. We need to look more like Christ. He gives them to us that we might be more similar to Christ. So while they're trying to be like celebrities and sports stars, we're to look like Christ, be more like Christ. And so God's given us men of God to help us do all of these things. You are stronger today than you would be had God not given you some men of God into your life down the road. You're more stable today than you would be had God not give you some men to help stabilize you in your faith. I want to say I thank God for the men that He's done that for in me, in my life, the men that He's put in my life. Because I am just a product. I am standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before me. What little I am a product of the men that God's put in my life. And you are too. Amen. By the way, this is why no saved person can survive disconnected to a local church. This idea of being just part of the invisible church and just, you know, all that. I mean, listen, God gave certain gifts to the church. And by the way, that's why the gifts that God gives us need to be used in our local church. God didn't gift us to run all over the countryside and use our gifts in all the other churches. He gave us gifts to be used right here in this local assembly. Amen. These professional singers that get their little bus and run around all over the countryside, God's not in all that stuff. I mean, if they can be in their home church and be committed to their church and do it, that's fine. But taking their gifts and using them to build up somebody else's ministry, God's not in that. That's why He put them in that church. Amen. I read a story about this guy. These missionaries were in a gas station. This guy came up to him. He was wanting a donation. And he was a minister, you know. And they asked him what church he was part of. Of course, he never could tell him what church. He was always this invisible church thing. And so guy said, his friend was there with him. He said, all right, I'll give you a donation. Here's you some invisible money for your invisible ministry, for the invisible church you're part of. Amen. That's exactly right. You can't survive spiritually without being connected to a church. Because God gives certain gifts. And so these are Bible reasons that God gives us men of God. And they look a lot differently from the modern man of God, what they'd call man of God, man of preacher. But it is what's right, and it is what God has given us and blessed us with. And I think we all could say that we have been blessed because of the men of God He's put in our life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for helping us with the message. I pray that You'll take it and use it. Pray that, Lord, You'll hide it in our hearts, and Lord, You'd help us to hide it in our hearts, apply it to our lives that we might not sin against You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us all, Lord, to love and honor and respect, and Lord, heed the men of God, Lord, that You put in our lives and that You bring through our lives, Lord, that knowing, Lord, that they are put there to strengthen us and stabilize us, Lord, to take us on further down the road for the glory of God. Lord, I pray that You just help us. And Lord, I pray that You'll have Your perfect will and way as we close the service, blessing the altar call. And Lord, that Your will be done in our hearts and our lives. And we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.